What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome to our show today. It is Friday, February 24th, 2023. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And I really mean it. It's been a heck of a week. It's a beautiful day here in Santa Claus, Indiana. Clear blue skies here. But pleasant weather, the temperatures we had a couple of days ago, we could go outside with our T-shirts. That's gone. The temperatures are back down to freezing. And so we had to get our heavy coats back on out to do our errands and everything. Anyway, it's another very, very busy news day. We've got a lot of stuff to get through before we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and let's get right on into it. Now, they're trying to make a big deal over the fact that Pete Buttigieg finally got to East Palestine, Ohio, yesterday morning, nearly 3 weeks after the derailment and the chemical fallout from... that it's just devastated the small town. The residents have expressed frustration, saying the issue has received minimal attention from the Biden administration. And it looks like Pete Buttigieg's visit was pure grandstanding to say, see, we really care. He didn't meet with the residents of the town. He basically spent all of his time with representatives from the railroad here. Was dressed up in a hard hat and a reflective vest and dress shoes. Frankly, he looked like one of the village people. And, showing up for a disaster is not Pete Buttigieg's job. His job was to prevent that disaster in the first place, and he utterly failed on that regard here. But, of course, Buttigieg took his opportunity before the cameras to blame Donald Trump and Senator Mark Rubio for the derailment. He's saying, now that it's campaign season, we're going to go on out there and, point fingers of blame here. And Buttigieg spoke with MSNBC's Joy Reid. And they talked about Trump's visit to the day before, claiming that his rollback of regulations was at least partially responsible for the accident in the first place. So the Biden administration is out there saying it's Trump's fault for the derailment. Even the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board is saying that is clearly misinformation. And the fault appears to have been poorly maintained trains, trains that were too long and too heavy. Some of the sensor systems along the track simply were not working any longer. And, of course, the railroads had lobbied against the installation of electronically controlled pneumatic brakes, which would have allowed the train to slow and stop much more quickly rather than the current, pressure-driven system that is in use. And especially with a train that long, it takes a long time for that pressure in the line to build to apply the brakes. So that was a big part of the problem here. And at this point, having gone to Ukraine and skipping Ohio, Biden has got himself in a real political mess. Remember, politics is perception. And right now the White House is realizing that the optics of going to Ukraine and ignoring Ohio are looking really, really bad. And Donald Trump's visit to East Palestine, Ohio, and his bringing of water and cleaning supplies and buying supplies and buying McDonald's for everybody out of his own pocket made him look really, really good. And so they're trying to figure out some way they can either minimize the political fallout from this or distract us from it some other way. And it's that latter one I'm really worried about. Now, of course, the official statement is that the air and the water are safe around East Palestine. There's nothing to worry about. That CO2 in the air, that's going to destroy the planet if you don't pay carbon taxes. But trust us, that rainbow-colored water is perfectly harmless here. Meanwhile, earlier today, a group of researchers from Texas A&M University Carnegie Mellon announced they had detected that several chemicals aboard that train are at a higher than normal level in the small town of East Palestine, Ohio. According to the researchers, 9 of the 50 chemicals carried aboard the train are at levels that will bring health consequences to the residents. They noted in particular the chemical acrolein. And according to the CDC, acrolein is highly toxic via all routes and is severely irritating to the eyes, mucous membranes, respiratory tract, and skin. Acrolein is highly flammable, can form explosive mixtures with air, and burns to produce irritating, corrosive, and toxic gases. Other chemicals at higher than normal rates include trichloroethane, butadiene, naphthalene, trichloroethylene, and, of course, vinyl chloride. Lots of that out there. Meanwhile, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources is now estimating that 44,000 animals were killed by the East Palestine train derailment. Most of them were fish in the nearby lakes and streams, and but we're still getting reports from some of the farmers in the area that their livestock are falling over dead as well. And there's another weird story here. This is coming out of womensystems.com. Parts of West Virginia and Maryland have been blanketed with a mysterious fine white dust. This happened late last night and into early this morning. They don't know what it is or where it came from, but obviously the question must be asked, is this another chemical byproduct of the train derailment? And worst-case scenario is it's powdered dioxin. Okay, and that, of course, would be really, really bad. Getting into other political news here, Sam Bankman-Fraud, that's what I like to call him, had conspired with two other former FTX executives to donate tens of millions of dollars in order to influence lawmakers to pass legislation favorable to the companies. Now, the donations were unlawful because they were made through straw donors or with corporate funds, allowing Bankman-Fried to evade contribution limits. And he's basically charged with conspiring to make more than 300 illegal political donations. So that's a real mess, and we'll see what happens. All righty. Getting into the strange and suspicious deaths category, billionaire Thomas Lee was found dead in his Fifth Avenue Manhattan office, supposedly dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And police were called about 11 a.m. yesterday morning. EMTs determined the 78-year-old was dead. The medical examiner will investigate to officially determine the cause of death. But it's important to note that he was a good friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton. And unfortunately, being a friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton historically has been hazardous to your health. Now, after Hillary flamed out in the 2008 primary against Barack Obama, she and Bill went to stay at Lee's East Hampton estate. He was a political donor and bundler for Hillary Clinton during her 2016 run. Okay, and this is coming hard on the heels of that special advisor to Bill Clinton, Mark Middleton, who facilitated Jeffrey Epstein's visits to the White House, was claimed to have committed suicide, was found hanging from a tree by a wire. There was a gunshot wound to his chest. Initially, it was reported that there was no gun found. Now they're saying, oh, yeah, there was a shotgun found in the area. You know, it's all fine and so forth and so on. Well, it still isn't fine, and for two reasons. When it comes to suicide by gunshot, men overwhelmingly shoot themselves in the head. They understand that if the brain gets the impact, they're basically unconscious and unable to feel the pain at that point. And women, however, conscious of their looks, tend to shoot themselves in the chest. And that's a little sociological thing that is part of suicide. But the other issue is a shotgun is a long gun. And holding it out and trying to shoot yourself in the chest is very difficult, as opposed to holding the gun down here with the barrel up under your jaw and firing the gun. So, again, the story is not really smelling correct on that one. All right, getting into COVID, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is saying there were 138 companies involved in manufacturing and distributing these COVID vaccines, and it turns out they are all military contractors. He's saying the Pentagon and the National Security Agency ran the entire pandemic response. Pfizer and Moderna don't really own those vaccines. They put their labels on them, but it was a Pentagon project. And this confirms the work of Sasha Latapova and Catherine Watt, who showed how the Pentagon's Operation Warp Speed was able to completely circumvent federal health regulations by using what's called in bureau speak an other transaction authority, which they used to contract with bioweapons manufacturers to literally produce bioweapons. Okay. And this was discovered in Pfizer's motion to dismiss Brooke Jackson's case, where they attached another contract called an other transaction authority, saying in effect they had no obligation to conduct valid clinical trials because the only goods and services they were providing to the U.S. government, according to this contract, are large-scale manufacturing demonstration for a prototype. In other words, they were cheating the system all the way along. And this, unfortunately, supports my own theory that the U.S. is planning to wage World War III with biological weapons and wanted to immunize Americans and their allies against it, whatever it is they've cooked up in those labs. And this resulted to the abandonment of safety, ethics, bypassing laws, ignoring the Nuremberg Code regarding experimental medical treatment, arm-twisting medical professionals to get those shots into our arms, supposedly for COVID-19, which has a better than 99% survival rate for healthy people. And I hope I'm wrong, but it all seems to fit. It's the explanation that explains so much of what's been going on here. In other health news, apparently we have an obesity crisis in this country. And, it's blamed on our sedate lifestyles. It's blamed on, computer games. It's blamed on too much TV and so forth and so on. Actually, a big part of the problem is that processed food manufacturers deliberately put chemicals in food that make you want to eat more. Monosodium glutamate is claimed to be a flavor enhancer, but what it actually does is it interferes with the signal to the brain that you've eaten enough. So you continue to eat more and more. Now, when scientists want to do obesity studies using rats, they have to lace the rat food with MSG. Otherwise, the rats simply stop eating at a healthy point. And so that's the effect it can have. And there are other things out there. Aspartame does essentially the same thing. There are also these growth hormones being poured into livestock to make them grow bigger and faster. When the animal is harvested, any of these drugs, any of these hormones that have not been metabolized are in the food. And they're going to affect you the way they affected the cattle and the chickens and so forth. Well, rather than clean up the food supply, okay, and say you're not allowed to put these chemicals in the food to make people eat more so you can make more money, they're going to come out with a drug for obesity. And they basically got this Wegovy semaglutide is now the first FDA-approved weight loss drug approved for obese adolescents. It's taken once a week, but its serious side effects are possible thyroid tumors that include cancer. Got a swelling in your neck, trouble swallowing, and shortness of breath. That's not the obesity talking. That's your new weight loss prescription drug. Catapulting what's known in lab-tested rodents as medullary thyroid carcinoma. And it's one of the reasons why I'm avoiding prescription medications these days is the side effects are often worse than the condition that's being treated. Okay. All right, let's get into the international news because things are getting very, very nasty there. So far, Joe Biden has sent $113 billion of your money into Ukraine with no end in sight. In fact, just yesterday, Janet Yellen said there's another $10 billion in assistance going to Ukraine to try and prop them up. And over at the DailyMail.com, they tried to break down this enormous military package for Ukraine, on this first anniversary of Russia's special military operation. They're talking about Republican audits or calls for audits, which are still being refused. Nobody really knows where this money is going. And, you know, they're talking about what the taxpayers think. And pretty much the majority of Americans are tired of war. They're tired of paying for war. They're tired of paying very high taxes and getting very little back. In terms of the government services that we want to have, like safe railroads and highways and bridges and dams and so forth. And but they're still doubling down on this Ukraine situation. And according to NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, Ukraine is now a battle of logistics. In other words, it's which side can get war material to the front line faster than the other. And specifically, he's talking about the fact that the Ukrainian forces are using up their ammunition faster than our factories can produce it and our supply chain can get it over there. And so Ukraine is on the verge of running out of ammunition, and more money isn't immediately going to solve the problem, because, you know, setting up a new ammo factory is going to take time and so forth and so on. And part of the problem, of course, is that the Ukrainian forces are poorly trained, and they're just out there thinking they're in a war movie and just firing bullets everywhere on full automatic. And, you know, that just goes through ammunition very, very fast, which is why some battle rifles now have lost the full auto switch and replaced it with a 3-round burst. Okay, so it's sort of a cross between semi-auto and full auto. You pull the trigger, it'll fire 3 bullets, and then it will stop. And that's there to basically conserve your ammunition. If you are not hitting your target with 3 bullets, you shouldn't be on the front line anyway. All righty, now the West is now telling the global South they can no longer be neutral in the Ukraine war. You are either with us or against us. And this is coming from the foreign ministers of the United States and Germany and Ukraine. And they're saying you're either with us or against us, which reminds me very much of Star Wars when Anakin Skywalker is saying, if you're not with me, then you're my enemy. And of course, he then goes on to become Darth Vader. All righty. Now, Seymour Hersh's article on the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline is being accepted as accurate. First of all, because of Seymour Hersh's reputation, he's won the Pulitzer Prize. He exposed the My Lai massacre. He's doing really, really, he has done throughout his career very, very good work. And you know, the White House is trying to dismiss him as a kook and a conspiracy theorist. But the reality is that the American public is now aware of all the U.S. false flags throughout history. And because everybody has lost trust in the U.S. government's statements and the corporate media's proclamations, people are trusting Seymour Hersh's story even more. Okay, because Seymour Hersh does not have a reputation of lying to the public on a massive scale like the U.S. government and the corporate media have been doing. Now, interestingly enough, there's another article indicating that somebody somewhere is looking for an exit strategy because there is absolutely no way you're ever going to see the flag of Ukraine flying over Moscow. It is simply not going to happen. And so it's either going to be a war of attrition that lasts for 20 years like Afghanistan, and look how that one wound up, or it's going to be Russia will take Ukraine. And so apparently they're starting to talk about the possibility that Kiev will have to accept a compromise with Moscow, probably the surrendering of the Donbass, in order to protect the ethnic Russians living there. And certainly this idea, you know, of recapturing Crimea is going to be off the table. But Western observers do look like they're trying to find a way out, or some are. Obviously, the hardcore war hawks, yes, so, you know, victory or death. And, you know, reminds me of Captain Hook in the Spielberg movie. He says, I want my war. You know, no, nothing else will satisfy me here. Now, last weekend, we had the Rage Against the War Machine protest in Washington, D.C., and several... Oh, my goodness, how time flies. All righty, going to take a break for commercials here, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And welcome back to our show. And to pick up where I left off, last weekend we had a rally in Washington, D.C., Rage Against the War Machine. There were companion rallies in many cities across the United States of America. And now they've had a rally in Germany's Dresden. It was called the Peace Without Arms Rally. And basically they're protesting Germany's supplying of weapons to keep the bloodshed in Ukraine going. And participants of the Peace Without Arms demonstration insist that further arms supplies to Kiev will only lead to an escalation of the conflict. They are absolutely correct on that. Everybody knows World War III is coming. Hardly anybody outside politicians and defense contractors wants that. But the war machine will have their war no matter what. And Eisenhower did warn us in his farewell address. He warned us about the military-industrial complex, and it's all come to pass exactly as he warned. All righty now. China apparently is thinking they don't want a world war. Okay, they have spent the last several decades really improving their country. Just a generation ago, everybody was on bicycles. The roads were in terrible condition. Now they've got modern highways. Most people have cars. They're built, you know, it's a building boom all over the place, and they don't want all that knocked down, is really what it is. So China is urging for an end of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It is calling for a ceasefire and peace talks. Beijing released a 12-point plan to solve the conflict, which the White House criticized before it had even been published. And clearly Biden's handlers want this war to go. They think it's going to solve all their problems. You know, because, hey, it worked the last two times. You know, we get into an economic mess, we get into a major war, and everybody forgets about it. Or you can blame the war. Yes, we're all hungry and homeless and struggling, but, you know, it's that war. You know, it's not a failure of the political leadership and that private central bank. It's all the fault of the war here. But in calling for peace talks in Ukraine, China has, in effect, taken the leadership mantle away from Joe Biden. Okay? Because when you're talking about being a leader on a global scale, obviously those who are trying to work for peace are going to be listened to by the world's people more than those who are still out there saying, well, we need to invade Iraq. Or wait a minute, we already did that. We need to invade Afghanistan. Oh, well, we don't talk about that anymore. We need to invade Russia and whatever else it is here. So it is a humiliating time to be in America because we have sunk in such a very short time to such a very deep low. Now, over in Hungary, Prime Minister Viktor Orban wants a ceasefire, peace, and sanity. He says people are going to demand a ceasefire, peace, sanity, and if necessary, new governments. So Viktor Orban is warning that this continued push for war could result in a backlash against the governments that are pushing for the war. And what I think we need here in the United States is a government cash for clunkers program. Remember the old cash for clunkers? You would take your old car in, they would disable the engine and junk it up here, and then give you a check to buy a new, smaller, more efficient car. We need the same thing. We need to be able to take our bloated, broken down, wasteful government to the junkyard, get a check, and we buy a new, smaller, cheaper, and more efficient government. And I think that would solve a lot of our nation's problems here. But China's not taking any chances. They're calling for peace, but they understand that everybody has to agree to peace. It takes only one warmonger to keep the war going here. And so China says it's ready to join forces with Russia to defend their national interests. Of course, Xi Jinping is getting ready to go to Moscow to meet with Putin. Kind of on both sides of the fences there. Meanwhile, kind of underscoring how tense the situation is getting, there was a U.S. Navy reconnaissance jet flying at 21,500 feet over the South China Sea, 30 miles from the contested Paracel Islands, which is a group of about 130 small atolls, the largest of which are now home to Chinese military bases. They were notified over the radio saying that Chinese airspace is 12 nautical miles, which is the international standard for territory into the ocean, okay? And said American aircraft, Chinese airspace is 12 nautical miles. Do not approach anymore or you bear all responsibility. Moments later, a Chinese fighter jet armed with air-to-air missiles intercepted the U.S. plane and flew alongside of it just 500 feet off the port side. And by happenstance, a CNN news crew that had been allowed to go along on the reconnaissance flight was there to record the event. All right, we've got to take another break for commercials.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and-lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Working two jobs, it's never seen to me. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. The fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him, the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news here. And North Korea test-fired four strategic cruise missiles during a drill designed to demonstrate its ability to conduct a nuclear counterattack against hostile forces. Now, the exercise occurred yesterday. It involved an apparently operational strategic cruise missile unit of the Korean People's Army, which fired the four Hwasal-2 missiles in the area of Kimchak City, North Hamgyong Province, towards the sea off the east coast of the Korean Peninsula. Other units conducted firepower training at hardened sites without live firing. The four strategic cruise missiles hit a preset target after traveling 1,243 miles, and they used elliptical and figure-eight-shaped flight orbits, meaning they're maneuverable and you can't predict a ballistic path, making interception that much more difficult. All righty, let's get into the economic news here. Columbia Property Trust, which is a large office landlord controlled by PIMCO, has defaulted on $1.7 billion in loans tied to seven buildings across the country, making it one of the largest office defaults since the start of the pandemic. And The loans were tied to three office buildings in New York, two in San Francisco, one in Boston, one in Jersey City, a portfolio that was most recently appraised at $2.27 billion back in 2021. And they're blaming it basically on the soaring interest rates, which aren't helping. But obviously, the COVID work from home phase probably did not help. There was a lot of empty office space, not generating rent revenue, and that had to hurt here. Alrighty, inflation and immigration are now the most important issues for GOP primary voters, according to the latest poll. People want the border closed. They want the economy brought back under control. They want to go back to prosperity. And so, anyway, let's see. That was a little bit out of order. My apologies. I still have more international news here. Apparently, Israel's Netanyahu held meetings with his top brass on attacking Iran. And Israel informs the Biden administration is prepared to attack Iran's nuclear program after an extremely grave development. And what they're talking about is this claim that uranium has been enriched to about 85% by Iran, which gets close to weapons grade here. And this might be a good time to remind everyone that Israel bombed the Iraqi nuclear power station in Osirak, Iraq, as part of Operation Opera on June 7, 1981. Israel's excuse for the bombing was that Iraq was claimed to have a hidden nuclear bomb factory under the power station, much like Israel maintains a not-so-secret factory under the reactor at Dimona. Now, following the Iraq war, international experts inspected the ruins at Osirak, and they found nothing but the remains of a nuclear power station. There was nothing validating the claim of a bomb factory. So fool me once. Okay. Now, as a side note, one of the pilots who bombed the Osirak reactor was Colonel Ilan Ramon, who later became Israel's first astronaut, who died on the Columbia space shuttle disaster. All righty. Now, there is a report that an Iranian city that houses one of Iran's nuclear facilities has suffered a major explosion. We're still waiting to get details on that. That happened just before we went to air. And Iran's air defenses are activated. And the reports are of a possible attack on a military facility in the city of Karaj. This happened last night. And the BBC's Persian language service reported that widespread gunshots and explosions were observed in the area. And anti-aircraft fire was also seen in multiple circulating clips, which remain unverified. So Israel may have already started their long sought after attack on Iran. Meanwhile, Israel army has shelled the southern Lebanon from occupied Syrian territory. And this was an unprovoked artillery attack on southern Lebanon. And four of the rounds fell in agricultural land. The other two directly hit a nearby house and caused material damage. No casualties or injuries were reported, but the agricultural land was also set on fire by Israeli flare bombs. These are incendiary weapons that are designed to, you know, cause fire and destroy crops and so forth and so on. The cross-border attack was part of a military exercise conducted by the Israeli army in the occupied Shiba'a Farms and Golan Heights. So anyway, meanwhile, Israel is advancing plans for 4,600 West Bank settler homes. They're going pedal to the metal on building more of these illegal settlements on occupied Palestinian land. And this is the largest number of settler housing plans Israel has advanced in a single week. Okay. And there had been a freeze in place, but the announcement of the plans will release a bottleneck and restore development in all areas of Judea and Samaria, which is what Israel calls those territories. To remind you all, say it's all in the Bible. We're doing God's will here. All righty. There is a group in Palestine called the Lion's Den. It was formed last year to resist Israeli incursions. And the Lion's Den and the Nablus Balata Brigade groups have called on Palestinians to engage in a battle against Israeli forces. I guess they're desperate enough where, you know, Israel's going to take weapons that you have paid for and kill a bunch of Palestinians. But apparently that statement came after Israeli forces stormed the old city of Nablus and is directed to everyone who carries weapons in the cities, villages, and towns of Nablus. So they're engaging in forced disarmament as well, which could easily happen here. Now, we have been talking about the possible development of biological warfare by the United States, which, by the way, violates the convention on such chemical, rather biological weapons here. We know that the Wuhan Lab of Virology, Institute of Virology, rather, had U.S. contracts to do development from them, and supposedly that's where COVID came from here. Of course, there were a bunch of bioweapon labs all over Ukraine, most of which have now been shut down and relocated. But over at USA Today, they did an investigation into the secretive biolabs, and they found there's all kinds of problems. There are vials of bioterror bacteria have gone missing. You know, oh, I'm going to take this anthrax home with me tonight, you know, have some fun with that Halloween. Lab mice infected with deadly viruses have escaped. Wild rodents have been found making nests with research waste. Cattle infected in the university's vaccine experiments were repeatedly sent to slaughter and their meat sold for human consumption. Equipment meant to protect lab workers from lethal viruses such as Ebola and bird flu has failed repeatedly, and especially with Ebola, you don't want that to happen. So this investigation revealed that hundreds of lab mistakes, safety violations, and near-miss incidents have occurred in biological laboratories coast-to-coast in recent years, putting scientists, their colleagues, and sometimes even the public at risk. Now, oversight of biological research labs is fragmented, often secretive, and largely self-policing. And even when research facilities commit the most egregious safety or security breaches, federal regulators keep their names secret. They don't want you to know what they're playing with in those laboratories here. All right, getting into the economic news, Elon Musk has balked at remarks that the Biden administration is claiming diversity would play an important role in the appointment of the next vice chair of the Federal Reserve. So Biden is still out there saying, you know, forget qualifications, forget merit. We're going to have, you know, people of color and LGBTQ and all the rest of it in all these important positions here, which is how we got Pete Buttigieg as Secretary of Transportation. And we've all seen the incredible job that he has been doing. So what could possibly go wrong there? The U.S. housing market posts a $2.3 trillion drop. This is the biggest since the economic crash of 2008. Meanwhile, over 800 big stores are set to close due to inflation, crime, and interest rates. Okay. And because of inflation, people have less money to spend. Crime is spiraling out of control, especially in these democratically controlled cities that are defunding the police and refusing to arrest anybody who steals less than $900 worth of goods. And social media is full of videos of just people walking into stores, filling up their backpacks and just walking right on out. And nobody's trying to stop them. Meanwhile, U.S. credit card debt has reached nearly $1 trillion. That is a record high level. And this is because more and more people are having to use their credit cards just to pay for groceries and basic necessities of life. This is because of Biden's economy. And, of course, it's driving them further into the slavery of the bankers. Okay. And that's a nasty situation. Now, over at realclearmarkets.com, they have an article saying that it is quite possible that the recession has already started to happen. Okay? According to the government's numbers, the Energy Information Administration, over a seven-week period, domestic stocks of crude gushed by a then-record 34.4 million barrels. The last time America had experienced close to that number was March and April 1990, just prior to the start of what should have been called the S&L recession. Okay, and the reason there was a glut of oil was, again, people simply couldn't afford to pay at the pump, and they were staying home, they were canceling driving vacations and so forth. Now, everyone's talking about this incredible, unpayable national debt that is crushing us down, and how much of our tax money goes to paying just the interest on the debt. They don't even pay the principal. They're just making the interest payments. Okay. Now imagine if you have a credit card that's near to being maxed out, and every month it says this is your minimum payment, and you just do the minimum payment, you're never going to be off the hook on that here. So apparently Nobel Prize winning economist Paul Krugman wrote two columns from the New York Times in which he claimed that the debt is an overhyped issue and it isn't all that unusual from an historical perspective, okay? And he supported these assertions using the kind of fraudulent accounting that could land a corporate executive in jail, okay? They are definitely gaslighting us on the true state of the economy. And just like they're saying, oh, there's no big deal in Ohio, the air and water is safe. You know, they're saying, yeah, the economy is fine, nothing to worry about. It's all going to be well here. Vote Democrat in 2024. Meanwhile, in an article from Associated Press, no less, they're saying the U.S. could face a default on its debt obligations as soon as June unless Congress lifts the debt limit. So we're getting the big sales job. You know, we've maxed out all of our credit cards. We just get a new credit card. The problem will be solved. No, it isn't. The problem is out of control government spending, a government that, unlike ordinary Americans, refuses to live within its means. Okay. Now, Iraq is going to drop the dollar for the yuan in trade with China, and that continues the de-dollarization around the world. And let's see, it's also happening in Africa. South Sudan is going to drop the U.S. dollar for their own indigenous currency. And meanwhile, another interesting story, this is from goldcore.com. Can gold push out the U.S. dollar as international tensions come to a boil? And as the Russia-Ukraine conflict intensifies, there is a risk of deglobalization, which personally I think would actually be a good idea. And both Vladimir Putin has issued nuclear warnings. Joe Biden has been rallying allies to defend democracy, which is nonsense. We've had all these military incursions into other countries since World War II, always under the claim we're bringing these people democracy, and we haven't actually done it even once. We've installed puppet rulers, the Shah of Iran, Pinochet in Chile, Marcos in the Philippines, and on and on and on and on. Okay, now this is a little scary to me, okay, and it shows how far we have fallen. Now, obviously, U.S. workers would like higher wages to deal with the inflation and the higher cost of living, and some states are finding ways to undercut the working class. Okay, and one method, as Business Insider reports, is for the U.S. to start allowing children aged 14 to 17 into the workforce. In other words, go right from grade school into the job force. And the federal government has said this practice is also increasing in kind of an illicit fashion, too. In the last month, Republican lawmakers in Iowa and Minnesota have introduced legislation that would allow exceptions to the existing child labor regulations. And this is aimed at ameliorating the ongoing labor shortage in the U.S., which, you know, they're out there saying there's a labor shortage. Well, what are all these illegal immigrants doing? Okay, just sitting around, you know, and we've got all these homeless people. Let's put them to work. Let's give them the jobs. Get them a chance to get off the street. This is a terribly managed country right now. All right. And adding insult to injury, inflation is hurting the wounded veterans. And nearly two-thirds of young disabled veterans faced significant financial problems in the past year, despite improving employment prospects for the group, according to a report issued by the Wounded Warrior Project on Wednesday, which is a good group, by the way. Of the roughly 19,000 veterans surveyed by the group, more than 12,000 said they can't make ends meet. Okay, and more than 80% said that rising inflation costs created hardship for their families. Okay, now over in the UK, they're out there saying it's time for the government to institute World War II style rationing of meat, clothing, and energy, and they say this is necessary to fight climate change, and I suspect what this really is getting ready for World War III. And if you know anybody who was alive during World War II, you might want to talk to them about the strict rationing that was taking place in this country. All righty. We've got to take another commercial break here, and we will be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about immigration. Now, Arizona rancher George Allen Kelly, who's charged with murdering a Mexican migrant by shooting him dead on his land, is now out of jail on a $1 million bond secured by his ranch. And family members for Kelly have been able to raise over $350,000 on GiveSendGo, which is a Christian alternative to GoFundMe, after GoFundMe took Kelly's pages down. Okay, and Kelly was in custody on a single murder charge for shooting Gabriel Quinn Butamia on January 30th. Now, there's been a new development on it, because it turns out this migrant who was shot dead was a cartel drug smuggler. This is according to the former Border Patrol chief. And as a result of this, prosecutors have now downgraded the charges from first to second degree murder following the growing public outrage. And absolutely, we're outraged. You know, you're allowed to protect your land from criminals. And this guy clearly was. And, of course, George Kelly denies the murder, insisting he only ever fired warning shots when he saw what he perceived to be a gang of cartel smugglers on his land. Now, there is another possibility that I hope Kelly's lawyers might consider, and that is that when the shooting started, another member of this smuggler group that was with him may have decided to shoot the guy and take the drugs for himself and get into the United States and start a new life. And that's certainly the sort of behavior you see from those who smuggle drugs into this country here. All righty. Now, there is a new government plan, and this is over in Great Britain. They're going to fast-track 12,000 immigration applications, including the channel migrants, okay? And they're going to do it with a questionnaire that is likely to see 95% of the claims granted. This is basically an amnesty in all but name. And the plan was immediately attacked by critics as the prime minister faced demands from his own backbenchers to urgently tackle the channel migrant crisis. Okay, so this whole open border thing, you know, is definitely being run from above the nation state level. And I think, you know, George Soros and maybe Bill Gates and these other billionaires who think having that kind of money justifies or entitles them to play with the planet like it's their toy here. Now, a Pennsylvania county, Butler County specifically, has formally ended its sanctuary status for illegal aliens due to the fentanyl crisis that has hit the community, spilling over from the U.S.-Mexico border. And they're basically want to keep the illegal immigrants out, and hopefully with them the fentanyl as well. And he says, you know, we're dealing with a major drug problem. And that stuff has, you know, they're not making the fentanyl in Butler County. It's being brought from Mexico. Okay, we're going to take a break for station identification, and we're going to open the lines. 512-248-8255.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.